Mike Wayne. Kevin, come on up. People have asked me why we do this, mostly the elders. Just so you know, they hate this. Yeah, why would you do this to us? I thought you liked us.
No, you're in the middle now. Glad
to see you here. Kevin, before you sit down. Well, yeah, let me go over here. I'll just go up here. I like being above these guys anyway. Not really. The reason why we do this is because you have leaders in your life. In fact, if you look, the scripture that talks about qualifications for elders is in 1 Timothy 3. If you look in the New Living Translation, it says, doesn't talk about overseers or elders like it does in some versions, but it talks about, relax. It talks about leaders, and I like that translation because these are the guys who are leaders in this congregation. There's a lot of other leaders too, and all their wives are leaders too, and there's probably about 40 leaders in the church. It's hard to tell though, and these guys are not the kind of elders who need to hear their own voice, and so it's hard to get to know them. And so the reason why we do this every once in a while is so that you get to know the guys that are leading you. All of them serve mostly as overseers in the body. In spite of what you may think, there aren't a whole lot of decisions that need to be made in a church. If you operate as a family, it kind of works as a family. If you operate as a business, there's a lot of decisions that need to be made, but we don't operate as a business. We operate as a family. So, you have had a chance yesterday or last week and then today some to write some questions. And outside of the, are the kids, did they go out?
Oh, they're here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're here. You can think of some questions you may want to ask, and we'll give some time for the kids to ask questions. But other than that, I want to honor the people who have written questions. And so we're probably not going to take too many live questions just because I just want to honor the people that took the time to ask a question on paper. And it just makes things move a little smoother. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves? Just tell them your name. I'll tell you right now, Rick and Wayne and Mike have been elders in this congregation since we began, which is phenomenal. Yeah, that's 28 years. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. When other congregations talk about their leadership teams and I tell them, oh, yeah, we've got some guys that have been around since the beginning, they're thinking, like, Genesis? Yeah. But it's phenomenal. Yeah, you guys start. Just tell them who you are, your name. And
he's the oldest. I'm the oldest. I'm Mike Fox, and that's my wife, Renee. Raise your hand, Renee. Any more information?
I'm not the oldest. My wife, Jeannie, is right here. There we go.
Hello. My name is Kevin Salinas. I am the youngest. That's my beautiful wife, Nina, over there. She keeps me in check.
I'm Patrick, my wife, Tammy, and yeah, I'm a middle child, so.
And I'm Rick, and my wife sits right there, but she must be with the kids or something, I don't know. Or she doesn't want to see me answer questions because I never answer hers.
This may be a question that you're interested in asking, but I'll just tell you right up front. The way that elders become elders is that we go and approach someone who we'd like to consider them being an elder based on their maturity. And so the reason why the guys are up here and not their wives is really simple, because they would never say anything. if their wives are up here. All of the elders' wives are very, very involved in this congregation. They all care deeply about this group of people. They have plenty of opinions about what they think and how and where they're at and where our congregation's at. These guys are a little bit more reserved. And so if we had husbands and wives up here, which we talked about doing this, they would be frustrated because they can't talk, and these guys would be frustrated because we were making them talk. So when we choose an elder for the body, we don't choose a husband and wife. We choose a guy. Not because of, that's not a political statement about it. Our wives are invited, including my wife, Jody, is invited to anything that we do. They're invited to be as much a part of this as they want to be. But there's not an expectation that when we appoint an elder that it's a husband and wife team. They operate as much as a team as they want to operate. And they can be as involved as they want to be. And believe me, they're involved. So I just want to say that. So let's start. Here's the first question, and this is I don't know if any of them are written to any one specific elder. Oh, here's one for Mike. Well, should we start there? Okay. Mike, someone wants to know, if Jesus manifested in your favorite chair and said, ask me anything. This is awesome. If Jesus manifested in your favorite chair and asked, and said, ask me anything you want, what would you ask for?
Oh, I worry all the time. I mean, Josiah summed it all up. You ask him some question, he goes, I'm tightly wound. And I'm going, I'm tightly wound too. It's like the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. I'm like, so maybe just to I guess it's a worry. I mean, I've always been self-employed, and I've always gotten paid by how much I do. And so, and then I took on some debt. And so I'm like, I would like more peace, because I'm like, I used to like work 7 days a week and two jobs. And I mean, it was just like crazy. But and so I'm kind of not doing that anymore. But anyway, so just, I'm just being vulnerable. It's just the way I am. I'm just like high gear, and like, I'm always like, a pile of wood or a pile of logs or a dead deer or whatever, that's my signal that I'm doing stuff, rather than the whatever.
And Mike is loyal to the fault. I mean, he's always there. Wayne, why don't you answer this question? This is actually to all of you, but who has been the most present and influential person in your life? Said has been, so I guess it doesn't have to be now.
Well, I feel really blessed because, first of all, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to name a particular individual, but because there are so many, and people that I feel like I would not be the person I am today were it not for them. And, a couple of people, those are my family, my dad, my brother. Really close to them and just hold them both in the highest esteem. My dad's been gone for several years now. But I also have a friend who I've known since sixth grade. And my guess is that if I ask some of you older folks in here like me, how many friends you still have left that you've known since seventh grade, you wouldn't be able to count more than the fingers on your hand. And so I have a friend that I've known for that long, and he's always been close to me and very supportive. And other people that I've known through the church, this group of guys that I sit up here with right now, each have spoken into my life, have been a support for me. I just feel really blessed because I'm not a person who doesn't have any close friends. Everybody, we have lots of acquaintances. I know most of you in here. But I have people that I really consider to be my friends that I could go to for anything that I need.
You guys, Kevin, Patrick, who's been influential in your life?
Oh, I have to say my wife. Yeah, definitely. For sure. And definitely Jeff Hoover, because Jeff has been a huge part of my life. And he took me in when I was a mixed up youngin' and took us both in at the same time, actually. And seriously, my wife has like really helped me stay on track and keep my head straight. She's been influential.
How long have you guys been elders, you and Patrick?
6 years.
Gosh, it seems like a lot longer than that.
It does.
But we, yeah.
Patrick, why don't you take this question, the next question. And I'm not sure exactly where this comes from. Do you enjoy your relationship with Jesus and your church family? Is it enjoyable? Is it enjoyable?
Wow. Now you said with Jesus and with the church family? Yeah. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Yes, with Jesus. I've been a Christian a long time. And I've really grown, really, over the last 10, 12 years to really love him. And that relationship just continues to grow and go deeper. I wouldn't be an elder if I didn't love this body. There are so many people in here. I mean, wouldn't you ask that question of Wayne and Kevin of who's been most influential? And I could say almost Evangel has. You guys have, for me, made me grow, showed me love, showed me how to love. That is, that's enjoyable. I enjoy watching what God is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing in your guys' lives. That is enjoyable. It's enjoyable watching when someone comes in hurting or just needing something, and they're fed, and they're loved without any questions, and they're loved. What is real cool, and just a quick example, Tammy Kitchener had been gone for a long time, but when she came back in, it was like she hadn't been gone at all. We loved on her.
Yeah.
And we loved seeing her. So the enjoyment with Evangel, it's heavy. It's strong.
Rick, how do you feel about that?
So say it again, just to make sure.
Do you enjoy your relationship with Jesus and your church family?
Yes and yes. In part, my wife is here now. For those of you who don't know, we had somebody at a want to get together one time that we did something together, and they go, "Oh, you two go together. We see you at church, but you're never together." So anyway, but yes, I enjoy my relationship with Jesus. To be honest, I feel like I short him quite a bit, and that's kind of a constant struggle. And I enjoy the relationship with this body and with the greater church throughout the world of Jesus Christ. That's probably more difficult because it's made up of a bunch of people instead of God incarnate. And there are people are really awkward, but including me, anyway.
You got a sister in Cambodia. Tell them a little bit about what they do there.
She's in Silverton today.
Well, that makes it kind of anticlimactic, Rick.
My sister went into the mission field at about 20 or 21, bounced around Southeast Asia with YWAM, and met a Brit that worked in the camps on the Thailand-Cambodia border. They fell in love and got married, and they've been in Cambodia since whenever you could live there in the aftermath of the Pol Pot. So I think it was 91 or so. Anyway. So they are there working with the people of the Khmer people in Cambodia and the other ethnic groups there, trying to support them and heal them and bring them back to wholeness and encourage the church in Cambodia. So, and are doing an amazing job, but it's a pretty onerous task. But they're back here for the last couple of days, which is great. So
he has a little bit of an international perspective, too, when it comes to his family. Kevin, this question is meant for you. Can you lose your salvation? The second part of that is many people accept Jesus when they're young and then fall away.
Hold on.
He's asking the Holy Spirit.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's my answer.
Anybody have a strong feeling about that? Rick will take it.
I have my opinions, but I don't.
Well, like Kevin would say, I have my opinions. And it seems to me that you could blaspheme the Holy Spirit if you want to go to scriptures about that for me. But I think really that's one of those questions. Until we see God face to face in his perspective, we really have no idea or no clue. We aren't the judge. We aren't the decider of things. We're just the follower of Jesus. That's what Kevin was whispering to me.
One thing you could kind of default to is always move towards grace. Always lean towards grace and away from judgment.
If it were true that you could be saved and then lose your salvation, it's also true that at a moment's notice, you could be saved again. I mean, you could come back to him. So.
Okay, so I will touch on it a little bit. I did grow up in the church. I was baptized as a baby, and I lived for a long, long time, but I didn't really know Jesus until later on in life, and I actually rededicated my life to the Lord. So I don't know if I would have died when I was younger, if I'd go to heaven or not, because I lost my salvation and regained my salvation, but I did walk away at one point, and so I was not close to God, and so I wouldn't want to be in that place either way, so I'm not going to take that chance. Well, you didn't know me when I was younger.
Good Lord. He wore a dog chain around his neck. He could have done anything.
I'd rather not even play with that, you know, because I don't want to take that chance, so I'd rather be close to him.
Patrick, why don't you take this one? What do you think about CBD oil?
Well, that's a good question.
We should try some.
The Bible says our body is like a temple of God. Should we be careful about what we put in it?
Yes. I think that's a great question. I guess the good answer is the opinions. I mean, I have my own opinion, and it might be different than Wayne's, it might be different than Kevin's and yours. I've seen, if we want to go specific on CBD, I've seen it really help people. I've seen it help people in my family. Would I myself? Probably not. Is our body a temple? Yes, it is. And I think that's something we have to really search out and go to the Holy Spirit on and ask. But again, I think that's one of those opinion questions.
Ask those of you who have kids around you, ask them if they have a question.
No questions. They're like, when is this going to be over?
Mara should have a question.
Mara, do you have a question? Okay. This question is for Mike. This is the one that was asked specifically for someone. Where do you see the youth in the city going in the next year?
Well, I think that's our responsibility to be part of that. And, you know, I don't really have an answer to that, but I do know that here, you know, I told Amara, I said, it's okay, don't worry, it's not going to be embarrassing. I said, you have authority, you know, you have a voice, and I don't know where everybody's going in the whole community, but I do have a heart for the kids here. And so then I'm part of how things move forward. And so I want to know your name. I want to encourage you. I want you to be safe, feel safe. I want this to be an atmosphere of where, hey, you're our future. You're very important. I said all this in the prayer room, but, you know, we prayed together in the pre-prayer. But just that I told Amara, when the boys are acting up in there, You have a voice. You can say, you know, I'm here for a reason, because you guys like tone it down a little bit. You don't have to be 21 or whatever to say stuff. You know, you can do that. Not that the boys are bad. They're just boys. All I know is I can play a part in that. You know, play a part in there. You know, I had a word from the Lord, waxing and waning, so I looked it up to make sure I knew what that meant, but I'm waning. They're waxing. It's the phases of the moon, so it's coming on, and you're coming on. You're the future. It isn't, Amara, how old are you? Sorry to single you out, but so in 8 years, you're going to be 20. That's scary. I mean, and it happens fast. Yeah, and it's scary.
That's what Jess is thinking.
Well, not scary. I mean, it's not. No. I mean, let me rephrase that. It is not scary. It's we have a lot of hope. We have a lot of confidence that because we're working together, telling them how important you are. Charlie, how important you are. You are. You're very important.
Patrick has a comment.
If you don't know this, but Mike knows every single kid in this room. He knows their name. He knows pretty much probably how old they are. He knows everything about each kid in this. So Mike knows. He's with those kids. And Renee, they know these kids.
If you guys don't know these kids, they're amazing. And this is for you guys. This isn't just saying stuff. I've been fortunate to help out sometimes with the older kids in the back room. And Christina and I are going to be doing that soon. These kids get it. If our youth in the city, and I'm not ripping on anybody, any church, any youth group, anything, but when these kids speak, the kids coming out of Evangel, they get it. And they get it because they're watching us, not us. They're watching us. They're watching you guys. And being in the back, hanging out with them is so valuable. And maybe it's a pitch to doing that. But let them get to know you, because they're going to be taking care of us as we move on. So.
Yeah, they are. Rick, why don't you and Wayne take this next question? What's the best thing and the hardest thing about being an elder?
Don't sugarcoat it. I'm trying to think of the best thing first. We'll worry about that. I'm going to let Wayne handle the worst. No, really, the best thing is having a community. I mean, Cindy and I both come from families that are pretty traditional, and folks haven't divorced and have got a group that supports each other, but the best thing, I think, for me personally has been that we have people here and people that aren't here at the moment that we've walked with for a long time. And I know I bet I could name off 25 people that go to church here, not just these guys, but a number of other people that I could call whenever I needed something or let them know what's going on. And it's kind of like having a whole bunch of Jesuses around me I can go to that's a little more tangible than praying, that I know will respond and pray, or people that will pray for me and I don't even know about it, and I'll find out afterwards. So that's the best thing, is just that feeling of being together on the same path, that with the same goal, maybe different paths, but we're going to the same place. We're going to heaven.
What's the hardest thing?
Watching people, walking alongside people when they're going through pain, suffering, and not feeling, you know, feeling part of them and be able to walk with it, but not feeling, at the same time, feeling inadequate and unable to do anything about it. And, I mean, a prime example is Randy, walking aside with Randy and Pam. But there's a lot of things, whether it's physical pain or sickness or just emotional trauma from other something life. But that's I mean, it's really hard because it I feel inept, inadequate. We can't, we aren't, I'm not God. So
that's good. Wayne?
Well, I think I'm sure the answer to that question is different from all the guys up here, but for me, I was thinking about what's the best thing about it is, it's not the only place in my life that I have a chance to feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing or doing what I'm called to do or serving in the way that I try to do. But it's certainly someplace that I value. I mean, I've always had a heart for, back up a second. I spent 35 years in law enforcement, and so my life has been kind of centered around the idea of taking care of people, making sure people are safe to the best of my ability. And that's one of the things that I try to do here whenever I'm here at church, is just provide that kind of a safe atmosphere for all of us, the kids and everyone that comes through the door. I enjoy that, but it also gives me a sense of satisfaction to feel like I'm doing what God put in my heart to do. And this is a place where I get a chance to do that. And for me, that's one of the best pieces. And that's a real personal thing, but that's the way I feel about that. The hardest thing for me over time, and I've made peace with it, or at least I'm still making peace with it, but the hardest thing over time has been trying to discern from the Lord as, you know, body life, the expression of the body of evangel over the long term. We've experienced lots of things. We've experienced lots of challenges, lots of hardships, lots of different things that the body has been involved in over the years. And there have been times when, as an elder, I felt like it was my responsibility to determine where should the boundaries be. You know, what's biblical, what is God's heart. You know, should we curtail certain things? Should we have no boundaries whatsoever? You know, does everything go? Or the minute that you draw a line somewhere, are you cutting off something that God is trying to do?
That's good.
And so, it's been a for me, at times it's been difficult because there have been times when I'm very conservative, shall we say, and so in my expression of most things, so when I see things that aren't conservative and I see different things going on where I might not even feel comfortable with them myself, but in my flesh is like, I think this is, you know, this is something that needs to be reined in a little bit. We need to put a, you know, get a rope around that one and, you know, drag them back in here a little closer or put a little lid on this or whatever. And the question that I always came up against that stopped me was, what if this is God?
Yeah.
Just because I've not seen it before, just because it's not the traditional Protestant church that I grew up in, just because it's not my idea of what makes me feel comfortable, who's to say that this isn't God? And so it's the constant battle there is to say, what do I know about God and his heart and his nature from the Word? And if there are things that I think, and this has been pretty rare, actually, but if there's anything that ever came up that I just thought, you know what, this is just not, I don't see a biblical foundation for this, then we might talk about that in the elder group and have that discussion. But more often than not, the times when I would be tempted to say, yeah, let's not go there, honestly, we've probably been blessed over and over and over again by the times when I didn't get in the way.
That's good. So. That's good. Kevin, you have anything you want to say about that? The best and the hardest things about being an elder?
That was some wisdom right there, brother. I love this guy. He's helped me to walk through some stuff in life. All these guys have. that's the, probably the best part is just being in relationship with people. I mean, like, I love being around people, but I also love being by myself. But just growing and walking together and being able to see people have breakthroughs in their life is just, I love it. I love so watching people be set free and the change in people, and I love seeing that. So the hardest thing would be watching people leave, because they take a piece of you with them when they go, and that hurts.
That's good.
And that's been one of our painful things that we've dealt with, me and Nina, over the years, is you get close to people and they leave, but when they leave, they take a piece of you with them, and it's painful. And so you evaluate those times and you go, man, do I really want to keep doing this? Because it hurts, it's painful, you know? But then the Lord comforts you and helps you walk through that. And you get to look on the upside and say, you know what? I had a part of that person's life, and I got to be a part of that person's life for a certain amount of time. And so I got to invest in that person as well as I got to receive, and they invested in me as well. So that's the difficult part, is watching people leave, yeah.
You guys know churches have, each church has a way that they govern, the way that they bring structure and order into things. Some churches have boards, multiple boards. Some churches have like these smaller groups like task force that work on certain areas. Some churches have elders. Some churches are really run by the pastor and everybody else supports them. The way that we've chosen to do things is to do it as a group of elders, and I'm part of the eldership, and we just work through things together and decide where we're going to go together. And sometimes there's outside input. A lot of times there's the input from our wives. But we operate mostly out of consensus with a strong pull towards what does the Bible say. Yeah. And that's kind of how we direct things. That's how this body is governed, if you want to put it that way. The next question is, what's the role of an elder? What do elders do? Anybody can answer that.
It's in the Bible. It's all in the Bible.
Well, I think they want to know what you do.
Oh. What do? We love people.
What do you do?
I oversee. Oh, I oversee people's lives. No. Well, it's for, let's
look
see.
Out.
For the most part, okay, let's see. If you want to, know the list of things that I do, I could say, okay, I do the news notes. That usually takes me a couple days because I got to get all the information in there. I get that submitted, get that online, get here about 8 o'clock in the morning, between 8 and 8:30 usually. Get those printed out, get the sound set up, and then I help all this. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. That's good. But as far as what I do is, like, I'm called to shepherd the flock. I'm called to oversee, to walk with people, to love with people, to have a heart and a passion for people, and that's my role that I feel as an elder, is to walk with people and to love on people and to be there for people when they need them, when they need us.
Well, the couple things. I mean, if you need prayer, you're supposed to call upon the elders. It's right in the Bible. But you know, Renee and I really value prayer, and like, I've got to give you the pitch. There's pre-service prayer at 9:15. 9:30, whatever. People trickle in here. I don't know if you've ever noticed. But I just am. I'm a watchman. I mean, I've been a logger all my life, and I've cut a lot of timber, and you got to be looking around or you're going to get yourself hurt. And so that transfers into my life, you know. It's like, and I also, so I'm very much aware of my surroundings, you know, and so therefore I'm looking out for you, you know, and not that I'm going to like beat somebody up or something, but I'm just saying. So, and then also I don't want you guys, I'm very protective of you about confusion, because confusion is not from the Lord. So if I see something going on that's, is it Maria? Maria? You got all wound up there for a sec.
PTSD.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll pray for you after we're done up here. Anyway, so the confusion is not from the Lord, and I don't want you to be confused. And I would encourage you, if you are, just recently a person left and they never talked to us. And then we got some feedback of why, and it was like, that's unhealthy. That concerned me. And even if they continued to go out the door, at least they should say, hey, you know, I need to see you guys and tell you why. And that would be a mature, I mean, I'm not putting this person down, but just, well, probably am. You know, that's not the way you do it, you know, sorry. But so confusion is something that I don't want you guys to deal with. And so I'm very much aware of, you know, very much concerned about that. And I, you know, we're willing, you know, I want to know who you are. I want to mingle with you. I want to, like, pray, you know, like, Barbara, I prayed for you, and I'm continuing to pray for you. And, I mean, it's a big list. Renee and I will pray and pray and pray. And I, you know, and then you can do that personally, too. Come up to people and say, how you doing? You know, what's going on with you? So anyway, that's my, and the kids. The kids are very important to me.
We've all got different roles and duties and jobs and all that kind of stuff that you might think of on Sunday mornings. But really, the role of the elder, from my perspective, is to be part of this group that works and supports Jeff, works with and supports Jeff, and creates, you know, and basically keeps us pointed in the direction that we feel like God's calling us to go. And that can be revealed to any one of us. Usually, I mean, oftentimes it's Jeff is the one who says, I really feel like this is kind of where we're supposed to be going. And we're privileged to be a part of the small group that gets to talk about that and you know, give our input and basically, you know, kind of steer the ship, you know, where we're headed. So it's a privilege to do that.
Definitely is.
Rick, why don't you take this one? What ministries and outreaches does Evangel support and partner with? What do we do outside of this group of people?
So one is, I mean, where's Ryan?
Back in the back.
Family Promise. I mean, that's outside of here. We support a number of ministries directly and indirectly in Caring Pregnancy Center, not just because Tammy and Cindy work there, but that's we are supporters of life. Community House, Chaplaincy, I can't even think offhand. Emergency Support Shelter, and Jerry and Leslie and Rogers in Africa. And I don't know if you know Emergency Support Shelter across the street. They did their annual event here, and I think Monique was the keynote.
Yeah,
speaker.
She is awesome.
Sharon. They did that here Thursday night. So, and Don Gorns came and spent a night with them while they did the practice, you know, run through to see how it worked. And then he came, and I think Jeff was here too. And Tri-Hop meets here way more hours a week than we do. They use the building more than we do. We've got a TOPS, Takeoff Pound Sensibly group that meets here in the morning, and we charge them a whopping, I think I said we should probably charge you $1 for rent so we have your insurance. I think they pay us $25 a month. GA, but they're anonymous, so we can't talk about that. Quiet. Anyway, there's a number of things, and we get oddball requests for the use of the building for things, and we try to facilitate and help everything. But ESS uses the building quite a bit during the week. That wanes and waxes as classes and stuff goes on. So,
don't you think, Rick, that a lot of our outreach stems from relationships?
Yes, most of those, there's some ties individually within the body that either have been established or have gotten established. So with Rogers as an example, there really wasn't a tie. That the relationship came there with Kenya after we started supporting him. So it works both ways. And we try to be pretty open to request and things like that. And we've had a number of different people that have gone off, headed overseas, somewhere else in ministry that we've supported that have been a short time window. There's snippets of, you know, that's been a 6 or 8 month, and then they'll pop back up and you go, how's it going? Yeah, we remember you a couple of years ago. You came and shared. Yeah. And so probably half of you know this, but Love Overwhelming started their first in-house care place, warming shelter, was in here about 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And they were in the building for probably 3 years. So Love Overwhelming, which they're in the paper occasionally. And we've had 4 churches use the building and basically started out here. And I think 3 of them are still going. I don't know if one of them is, if I remember right. So, anyway.
Yeah. Financially, we do try to not take the responsibility of financially supporting outreach completely. We try to get you to do it individually based upon relationship. We'd much rather have you write out a check to ministries, especially local outreaches, than us, because then you're connected with it. A lot of times, if we're supporting ministries on your behalf, you forget about it at times. You forget there's a connection there. So we really try to encourage personal participation in ministries. Like Leslie and Jerry have somebody on their board from here. Tracy works with, she's actually an employee of Family Promise, and Ryan and Rafina work on the volunteer side of that. So there's a lot of, we try to connect with what we're doing and not just do it from a distance. And we definitely don't want to be doing that on your behalf. We want you to feel that. It's much more important. Like, we've really pushed that with Kenya and Rogers and what he does over there, working with the school and the widows. We want you to invest. So I talked to somebody last week, and they said, yeah, you can build a house in Kenya for $850. So a guy said, yeah, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to get some money coming in, and I'm going to send it over there to build a house. And we won't even have a part in that. That's just him supporting them directly. And we'd much rather do things that way, because it gives you the ability to support directly and when you're ready and when you're passionate about it. Here's the next question. Please share something personal about yourself for those that don't know you. This is a question for all the elders. Something personal.
So I owe you coffee. Trying to think of something that's enlightening or not.
What do most of these people not know about you?
I don't know what they know about you. Oh, I know some of you know, but a lot of you don't. I umpire baseball and softball locally and basketball, and have for a number of years. I know Rafina knows that, because that's how we first re-met after she'd been here. I looked at her and I said, I know who you are. And I didn't call a technical on her. I was nice. So that's my afternoon, evening, semi hobby, and really part of it, I started doing that as our kids got older, because I liked messing around with our kids. I'm not an athlete. I'm no good at sports, but by default in Castle Rock, I got involved because I'd go to practice. But when they all got about 12 years old, they were better than I was. So then I started officiating, because it was a way to be involved, and I could act like I knew what I was doing if I wore a uniform.
Oh, I knew it was going to happen.
He is so humble about what he does. But one of the biggest parts of what this man does is he's a big support piece here as far as with the kids. And I really appreciate his heart about that, because he is so for the children, your kids, that he, you know, he wears a lot of hats. And so, and he loves and supports Jeff and Jody completely. And so he gives. And sometimes I wish he would just quit giving quite so much.
So give me this.
I'm a cat person. I like cats, especially my cat. I like dogs too. Jeff and Jordy have a couple cool dogs. Love them. Little Gracie is awesome.
They're yours.
I don't want them. They're just awesome. Yeah. So I love cats. And
what separates a cat person from a dog person? Why are they different?
Oh, that would be an opinion, and I don't want to give that opinion right now. I hate this time of season up until October 31st. Once November 1st hits, that's the season. Holidays, Christmas. Love Christmas. And so.
Oh, Kevin. We'll get Nina up here if you don't.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. I have a secret addiction. I used to be an addict to alcohol and drugs and cigarettes, and now I'm addicted to fishing. So that's what I do on my spare time, is I go fishing, like, a lot. Me and Jacob and Isaac go fishing a lot. And it really helps. It's my way of just escaping, and I get out, and I stand in the river, and I get away. And so if I'm not doing anything else, I'm fishing. That's what I look at. So
what's the difference between fishing and catching?
Yeah. Wishing. Wishing you were catching. And I like to lay in bed at night and watch movies with my wife.
Oh.
We're getting to that age now where we like record TV shows and we watch them. We're getting old, so.
What?
I secretly like to cuddle.
Don't tell anybody.
Well, for those of you that have been around for a long time, you probably already do know this, but maybe not everybody does. I actually met my wife in a pet store because she was working there after school, cleaning cages and stuff, but she's an animal lover. She's an animal lover to the point where several years later, et cetera, marriage, kids, stuff like that, she decided she was that it would be really fun to rescue dogs and work with Humane Society and a rescue group here in town and stuff. And so even though we weren't necessarily set up to do that, over the course of several years, we probably rescued 400 or 500 dogs. Now, many of those were puppies, you know, litters of puppies that came and left pretty quickly as they got old enough to be weaned, but that's a lot of newspaper. That's a lot of newspaper and puppy mess, let me tell you, over the years. So we haven't actually done that fostering for quite some time, but we've always had a house full of dogs as well. So we're down to 6 this week because just a few days ago we lost a dog that we had for about 12 years. And she came to us as a rescue, and she was a little Pomeranian that had been poisoned. We brought her in and took care of her, gave her proper diet and things like that. Eventually, instead of being up for adoption, as we had other dogs that were available for adoption, and people would come to our place and to look at puppies and things like that, every time, every single one of them would go, is she available? Because she's just the cutest little pom you've ever seen. I'm not a big fan of little tiny dogs, but she was pretty special. Anyway, she had health issues that they wound up taking her life here just a couple days ago. So she's a little tiny dog, but she left a great big hole in the Nelson household. So Jeannie's, there's still some grieving happening at our place. What about guns?
I thought you liked them.
I was really, when I started to work for the police department, I'd only been there about 3 months. And I watched the lieutenant go over and open up the closet that was our armory at that time. And there was some rifles and pistols and ammunition and stuff like that in there. And And I said, hey, if you ever need any help, like just cleaning these things up and stuff like that. And he looked at me and says, you like guns? I go, yeah, you're the new range officer. And then about a year later, or 6 months later, I got sent back to Camp Perry, Ohio, to the National Police Firearms Instructor School, and went through police firearms instruction through the at the national level, at the state level, local level, and taught firearms to police officers, firearms use police officers for the rest of my career. So, yeah.
Just to throw that in.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, yeah.
So it's almost time to stop, but the one thing that hardly anybody knows about Wayne was many years ago at an elders meeting at our house. We live in the country. We were shooting guns. And so Wayne looked down, and we live by the woods, too, so we hit golf balls in the woods. He picked up a golf ball, had a pistol in his hand, and he said, here, watch this. Dead center. But he was smart enough to never repeat it.
But it was amazing.
Hey, I want to see some of that. I mean,
these guys have been hitting golf balls with little clubs off out into the trees, and so I just set one out there with a bullet.
Oh, I like guns to kill animals to eat, but I don't want to kill any. I don't want to kill anybody. just so you know. Well, no, some people like, dude, that gun's for killing people. And it's like, why would you? Anyway, so I'm just starting to can now. Canning, not vegetables. Who'd mess around? You can just buy those. Smoke fish, chanterelle mushrooms. I'm going to smoke some halibut, and I have guns, and I'm a fishing, hunting, gatherer. We have a place in Alaska, which I love that place because it's so unspoiled, and you can just go there and hang out. And it's for my kids and grandkids to go there. And so I really like Alaska because it's unspoiled, and you can go places, and nobody's there, and it's great.
Yeah.
I have a smokehouse in Alaska, a building, and one at my house, too. So I know how to do stuff, I think. At least
we need
I think
to wrap
so.
This up because we could do this a long time. This really is reflective of our heart, is that we should know about you. You should know about us. So there's a tons of...
I do need to say one more thing.
Okay.
This is completely off the subject. But I've always thought, I just want you guys to know that we don't spend money on our, the church doesn't, if we go to eat, we are very concerned about you knowing. We don't go on, you probably already know this, but we don't go places and the church pays for it. We don't, we want the money to go to people who need it. And we give money away to people. Just individually, and then as leaders, we do that. But I've always thought, I just want, you probably know that, but I just want you to know from some one of us saying, we don't spend money on us, the leaders. We just don't.
There's a lot of questions we didn't get to. One of them was, what do you believe about tithing? Another one was reflecting on when you first became a Christian. What advice would you give to new Christians to keep them on track? What's your position on homosexuality? Church attendance in our country is very low. Do you see this situation improving or not? There's a lot of questions that we didn't get to. It's the questions, to me, this is me. The questions were just a way to get these guys to talk about who they are and what they think. These are amazing guys. Not because they're perfect or because they know more than everybody else, but because they're in it. They're in it. They're invested into it. They give their lives to it. They give their heart to it. They give their money to it. They give themselves to it. But they would say, I think they would say, you guys, we want you to be the same as we're not any different than you are. We want you to give yourselves to it, too. So they're modeling a lifestyle of generosity. That's really what they're modeling. And that's what we want our whole congregation to be about. We want to be a generous people. because cool things happen to generous people. Not very many cool things happen to stingy people, but cool things happen to generous people. So that's really where our hearts are at, you guys, right? We're not trying to tell everybody how they should live their lives, but we're not afraid to tell you how to win, and that's to be generous people, to have generous hearts. So after we get finished, if you want to come and ask one of these guys and their wives out to lunch today, you can do that. If you want to pray for them, they can stay seated for a few minutes while you just come up and lay your hands on them and pray for them and bless them. But I just want to pray a blessing over our congregation right now. Father, this is not leaders on parade. This is us exposing our hearts to you and saying, we want the best for this group of people. We want the best for this city. We want the best for this nation, Lord. Our hearts are really to be open to you more than anything else. We want to be your people. We want to be called by your name, but we also want to be doing the things that you did. Jesus, you're our leader. You're our model. And we're trying to live our lives in a way that reflects that to the world around us. So thank you for the grace that we walk in, the joy that's part of that grace. And thank you for the amazing future we have in you. This is not a bad time to be a Christian. This is a great time to be a follower of Jesus. And it's because of you, Holy Spirit, because you're invested so heavily into who we are. Pray your blessing on our children, the visitors here today. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Thanks, you guys. You're awesome.